Please be seated. Father, we ask that by the gift of your Holy Spirit, we may understand the written word and so come to know more fully the gift of Jesus, the living word. Amen. Well, it must have been quite some morning. Simeon, prompted by the Holy Spirit, took his place as normal in the temple courts to welcome the young couples bringing their firstborn as a dedication to the Lord. A very busy environment, full of hustle and bustle, lots of people coming and going, carrying small babies just a few weeks old and offering the usual sacrifice of doves or pigeons. And one such couple caught his eye. There was something about them that connected with him spiritually. He'd had this remarkable dream from God, an assurance that before Simeon died, he would see the promised Messiah. But he'd never thought the Messiah might be revealed in such a vulnerable way. But yes, as they drew near, he knew. This was the one, and no wonder he burst out in prophecy. Sovereign Lord, I can now die in peace, for my eyes have seen your promised salvation. This is the one to reveal your glory to Israel and to be a light for the whole world. What a wonderful day that must have been in Jerusalem. The story of Jesus' presentation is like a multifaceted jewel. There are so many aspects reflecting both beauty and integrity, that of heaven and eternity touching earth at a very specific moment in time, and yet also coming, as with all great jewels, at a considerable price. Alternatively, you might observe the presentation as an intricately woven tragedy with interesting side plots and an unwanted twist. But of course, the real event and what it signified almost defies description. And I'd like us just to consider a few aspects of this dramatic event, starting with the supporting characters. And first of all, we have the completion of Mary's purification according to the Levitical law. This has evolved in our books of liturgy, in the Book of Common Prayer, as thanksgiving after childbirth, or more commonly known as the churching of women. I remember one day in my curacy in Liverpool, a mother and a grandmother coming with their daughter and their daughter's daughter, quietly into church and saying, "Can we have the churching, please?" And I'd never come across it. This was a completely new one to me. I hadn't been taught at theological college, I think. But it was a beautiful thing to do. And I think within that ritual is a wonderful affirmation of motherhood as a high calling from God, coming with all the joys, yet also all the pains, not just of childbirth, but of allowing a child to grow and do as that child should wish. But you never forget that you carry that child, if not in your body, but in your heart and soul. And we then observe in this the practice of Joseph coming with Mary to present Jesus, the firstborn offered in God's service according to the law. And how important it is to offer our families, our children, to God with thanks and dedication. And we most obviously do that today in baptism. And again, within all this, at pivotal moments in life, you see the sense of society in harmony with God. In the Jewish liturgical way, this rhythm of their community life, acknowledging both the gift and yet the call of God. And we need to recover that. And beyond Mary and Joseph, we have the aged religious characters of Simeon and Anna, such faithful people, serving the community, praying for God's kingdom to come on earth. Since just being involved for a few weeks in the Hambledon Valley group, my wife and I have been impressed by how many people in the churches are quietly holding community life together, keeping the rumour of God alive in the villages, trusting that God's presence will sustain and renew where sometimes things might seem hard and draining. And there, take courage from Simeon. He had been promised, but he may have been waiting for years and thinking, was it just a dream or was it a real vision from God? And so with Anna, she'd been in the temple for decades. It can be tough when there are difficulties at work, or you have problems with health, or perhaps when important relationships in your families or elsewhere are failing, or when your long-held prayers seem to be unanswered. This is a story that encourages you to persevere, to trust that God's promises do not fail, and that the Holy Spirit continues to be active around us. And it was because of that that we read that Simeon was guided by the Spirit and came into the temple. It's amazing how much God can prompt us. And I encourage you to be open to how he might want to say something or do something through you. A sanctified nudge to get up and go. I remember a good friend telling me about the day when she stopped in a street and felt it right to read and pray Psalm 91. If you turn to that sometime, it is a beautiful psalm of protection. And she later discovered that same day that her son in Afghanistan had been in an armored vehicle that had hit an improvised explosive device, and all in the warrior carrier survived. It's a lesson not to ignore when God-given nudges encourage us to do or say something. And this is where we come to the main character, because Simeon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, reveals the identity of this tiny baby and prophesies his future mission. Of course, the clue is in the name. And when Jesus had been circumcised after 7 days, he would have been named as Jesus in accordance with the angel's instruction to Joseph. Jesus, the God who saves. And Simeon goes on to draw out the beauty and the agony of his life. It will truly be bittersweet, speaking truth to power, upsetting vested interests, revealing what is really in the soul of humanity, being opposed so severely that a sword would pierce his mother's heart. Yet how sweet it would be, the longed-for salvation whereby men, women, and society would be brought back into alignment, even fellowship with God himself. And not just for the Jewish nation at that time, but for the whole of humanity, the whole of the time, in every culture and country. So I wonder, what do you take from this dramatic story? I think perhaps above all, a reminder to consecrate our lives to God, not just at significant waypoints on the journey, but on a daily basis. I remember my college principal, who failed to teach me about the churching of women, made the sign of the cross every morning as she went into her office as a marker that that's what she was about. Prayer and Bible study are truly spiritual disciplines. I encourage you to read a psalm and maybe something from the New Testament every day. Consecration is a corporate activity for communities, parishes, benefices, and even countries as we work to align our national life with God's ways, his kingdom, and his value. But it is also deeply personal, and it requires a response of our lives to the one who reveals the secrets of our heart. And having done that, having consecrated ourselves, take heart. For this child, full of grace and wisdom, fulfilled that costly mission, and he promises to give to us all we could possibly need to follow in his footsteps. So I would like us now just to pause for a moment and to respond to the invitation and the call of God. You may wish to close your eyes for a few moments and even perhaps hold out your upturned hands to receive from him. Let's be still. Wonderful Father, we thank you that all your promises find their yes in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your self-offering on our behalf, and we say yes to you with our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit, breathe on us and help us to follow your promptings and give us strength to persevere. Amen.